Hello.
I defeated the drill at the outer wall, but stuff still happened. So what's up?
A lot.
I'm going to do things a little differently today. The first segment of this is just going to be dedicated to trying to cover the state of the situation in the states, the state of the states, the state. I want to say up front, it's not great. It's just not. And I wish I had better words, and I'm going to do what I can to give a glimmer of hope. But here we go. Let's start off by talking about Kilmar Abrego Garcia. This name has come up a whole bunch of times in this series. Very brief recap, Kilmar was mistakenly, in air quotes, deported to CICAT, the torture prison in El Salvador. He had been living in the States for years, has a wife, child, wasn't supposed to be deported to El Salvador especially, but was deported to El Salvador. At which time, the U.S. government was adamant that he was out of their jurisdiction, and there was no way they could possibly bring him back. So he was brought back, and the DOJ hit him with human trafficking charges based on a traffic stop that resulted in a simple warning for an expired license from 2022. They did not dig into this until after there was already a media firestorm about them fucking up and deporting him by accident. And the traffic stop was literally just for speeding, and the cop said, "You have a lot of people in your car." And that's what they're using for the basis of charging a man with human trafficking. So at time of recording, which is Saturday, the 24th. At time of recording, he's been released.
Hey, future Endeavorance here. Since recording this, he's now back in ICE custody. They required him to come turn himself back in because reasons. Okay.
He finally went back home to his family and his son, and now he's being informed that they're going to try to deport him to Uganda. Yes, the United States went after this man and said, "Hey, we're going to cut you a deal. We'll deport you to Costa Rica if you plead guilty to human trafficking charges." Presumably trying to give him some kind of a plea deal that makes them look good for this, but he didn't take it. And there is a court order that he's allowed to make a case against his deportation. And so now they're trying to punish him by deporting him to a completely different continent than before. This man has not been found guilty of a crime. He hasn't. A little bit of an added bonus. Christy Noem, when finding out that he was going to be released from jail at the request of a judge, blasted the judge, getting all upset and calling them an activist judge, a liberal from Maryland that just wants to get the spotlight. The judge that released him is from Tennessee. But literally nothing matters, as evidenced by this next section. Because on the topic of deportations, you've probably heard of Alligator Alcatraz, which is the nickname that they've given the concentration camp in Florida, as well as possibly the Speedway Slammer, another one in Indiana. So first, there's a court order from a judge that requires that the Florida concentration camp that they call Alligator Alcatraz must be shut down. That order is already being ignored. Essentially, what's going on is there's a court case that argues that this facility is detrimental to the environment that it's in, which is the Everglades. The government threw this facility together in basically no time at all, and so there was no environmental impact report or anything like that. And so on those grounds, the judge was like, "You gotta stop." It's not the human rights violations or the horrific conditions there. It's the environmental stuff, which is important too, but hey, maybe let's care about people. So DeSantis has already said that he's not gonna be deterred by that judge, and they're gonna fight that in court. I have my doubts that it's going away. And now there's another one we're adding to the list, because apparently naming concentration camps is just so much fun. We gotta give them all good brand names, because that's what this administration is all about. So say hello to the Lone Star Lockup, a brand new concentration camp in Texas, except it's not really all that new. It's at Fort Bliss, which was previously used to detain Japanese Americans during the World War II internment. So hey, at least we've got pedigree there. We've got the books, which go back and learn from history. Here's how we can infringe on rights. Oh, great, wonderful. Now, I want to be clear. I've had a few people try to use their Judaism to argue that calling these things concentration camps is insulting to Jews. I want to address that. I'm quoting Jewish researchers in referring to these as concentration camps. Jewish people don't have a monopoly on determining what is and is not a concentration camp. There are more than just the one instance in history. Obviously, we should be careful about not downplaying the Holocaust. That is not what's happening here, though. What's happening here is identifying that our current tax dollars are going towards facilities that violate human rights. One last thing about the migration stuff. The State Department has now said that they're going to review all 55 million active visas. They're going to be looking through social media profiles and ensuring that you aren't dissenting against the United States, which is basically what the foundation of our country is all about. Popping over to the Supreme Court, our favorite current institution, they have ruled that the Trump administration can cut $800 million of medical research. Now, $800 million in medical research being cut sounds like a lot, until you recall that the Trump administration has actually slashed $12 billion of medical research funds. This was specifically targeting a chunk of those funds that were being held up in court because they were being appealed. Because what are we doing? Why are we getting rid of medical research grants? This is not a partisan thing. I don't know when this became a partisan thing. We need to study illness so that we can make cures for sick. But because they hate universities and have been spending decades labeling them as like liberal indoctrination sites, they're trying to punish them by getting rid of research grants, which just hurts everyone. I'm tired of people who aren't experts asserting that the experts shouldn't be listened to because they have a bias, that bias being knowledge of the subject. Anyway, this is all still just this week. Let's keep going. Alina Habba. I've never actually looked up how to pronounce her name, and I don't care enough. So we're going to say Habba. So she's a former lawyer of Trump's and was appointed to a position of interim federal prosecutor for New Jersey. She's been in that position for months, despite having no prosecutorial experience whatsoever. And people are like, why is this happening? After getting the appointment, she proudly said that she was looking forward to turning New Jersey red, which is not a thing a federal prosecutor does. Anyway, they tried to unseat her, and they kind of did. Again, she was appointed as an interim prosecutor, and her term was ending, and they were like, get this person out of here. Let's put somebody competent here. But then the Justice Department got involved and undid that. Like, literally, the Attorney General was like, no, this specific person gets this specific job. But a judge had ruled that she had that position illegally, and so her decisions from that position should be overturned. But that judge's decision to overturn the decisions that she made is now on hold because the Justice Department is putting together an appeal to explain why this person with, again, no prosecutorial experience and only really was a former lawyer to Trump should be a federal prosecutor for a state at all. But let's jump over to how we are now a socialist country. That's right. Donald Trump has finally embraced socialism and Bernie Sanders is supporting him in this, as the United States now has a 10% stake in Intel. Is that weird? Yep. The Republican Party has just screamed communism and socialism at literally everything. And while there's examples of state stakes in companies that aren't necessarily socialist or communist, it's not typically a thing that happens in free market capitalism, which is like their whole vibe. Now, there's some mixed reactions from the conservatives in this. Of course, the MAGA side is like, this is great. This is so smart. 4D chess. But some other conservatives like Rand Paul are saying this is, they're saying the thing. They're doing the meme. They're saying it's socialism. As I said, Bernie Sanders is actually in support of this. What has essentially happened is Trump was taking money that was already penned to be a grant to Intel and instead reworked it and got some money from a different fund to purchase stock instead. In theory, that could mean returns on the investment that are like material, like just money returns. In actuality, it's probably not going to do anything. This was supposed to just be a grant that goes to Intel. And while I'm not a huge fan of just giving billions upon billions of dollars to companies that have billions upon billions of dollars, I think that money could maybe go towards, I don't know, feeding people, housing people. But it's also still a non-voting stake in the company. So like, the United States just owns 10% of a company and can't do anything with that because. Not to mention, like, literally just a couple weeks ago, Trump was harassing the CEO of Intel and saying that he should resign, and then now this is happening. But let's leave the theoretical world and go back into the real world where there's military in the streets. God, it's so all over the place. Thousands of deployed National Guard are patrolling the streets of DC. There are still hundreds of them in Los Angeles. It is now coming out that the Trump administration plans to send the Guard into 19 more states, most of which are Republican-controlled states, so presumably he's doing that so that they don't push back on him or even cooperate with him. The National Guard that is going to be going to these 19 states will technically be operating under the state, but they're given permission to further federal causes. So it's technically a stop hitting yourself kind of situation. But additionally, the Washington Post reported that the Pentagon has been drafting plans for deploying the military to Chicago, which is wild. Chicago is another one of those cities that the Republicans love to rail on, primarily because there's a lot of black people there. They'll never actually admit that, but they use dog whistles, like saying that it's overrun with violence and gangs. Look no further than how frequently they love to quote statistics around like race and incarceration rates. That's what the dog whistle about crime comes from. To be clear, they want to deploy the National Guard to places that did not vote for Trump. DC did not vote for Trump and does not want that. And his response to that is they don't get a say in what they want. The mayors of these cities are pointing to the fact that their policies to address crime are working. Crime's dropping in Chicago and Baltimore and DC. But I shouldn't even waste breath making that argument because it's not about that. It's not about the crime. It's not about the optics. They don't care. They're just saying words to give ammo to people to allow this to happen. A large contingent of people who are supporting this just take everything that Trump says at face value. And when he contradicts himself, they take what he said more recently or what he said that was more palatable at face value. That's true for all of his officials. Like, Hegseth can go retweet posts saying that women shouldn't have the right to vote. But because he didn't go on national television and say the words, "I think women shouldn't have the right to vote," they don't believe that's the case. So it's not about making sense. It's not about making a legal argument for this to happen. It's not about anything except for giving red meat to their base by way of deploying the military to the places that they've been told are overrun with liberals. Imagine if the actual problem was just that it was overrun with liberals. I mean, it kind of is. Like, you want to go get a breakfast sandwich, but the only thing you can find is like an $18 like brioche breakfast sandwich thing. That is the problem with liberals ruining our cities. I want my breakfast sandwich to kill me. Okay, I think I was just trying to give myself a little bit of a break there vis-a-vis breakfast sandwiches. Let's keep going. Gerrymander. You've probably been aware of Texas's effort to redraw their district map and gerrymander it really severely for Republicans. I want to talk real quick about what gerrymandering is, especially for people who are not from the states. Real quick, in the United States, we have districts. Each district has a representative. Those representatives go to Congress. The districts are drawn on a map by the states, like the state legislatures. So politicians are the ones that are choosing the districts. And it is legal for them to craft districts that favor certain demographics. As long as a court doesn't rule it to be racist and unconstitutional, as long as they can sneak it by, they can draw whatever the fuck map they want. That is what's happening in Texas. Texas has more Democrats than Republicans. You probably think of Texas as a deep red state, largely because of gerrymandering. Now, both parties do this, but the reason that this Texas situation is so outlandish is because this is not a time where redistricting usually happens. We do a census every 10 years on the zero, and usually that's when the redistricting happens. But there's nothing legally stopping them, which is another example of just how fragile the United States systems are. Like, we put so much emphasis on just be chill about it, dog. But they're not being chill, and they passed a redistricted map that is abhorrent. It completely obliterates representation for Hispanic and Black people in Texas at large, and it adds 5 additional safe red seats to the state. And so the response to that has been that California's Governor Gavin Newsom has been threatening to redistrict California as a retaliation against Texas's redistricting, and that takes more effort because California has extra steps that it has to jump through before they can actually do a redistricting. So where we're at right now is, for anyone who's talking about how there's never going to be elections again, they are currently fighting to try to make it so that they win the next election. So I think we can use that as a reason why we should expect there to be elections. But what they're doing is trying to make it so that the election won't do anything. The Republicans are at risk of losing their majority in the House, possibly in the Senate. And if that happens, Trump's term is effectively over. So they're doing everything they can to make sure that the House cannot be taken by Democrats by changing the literal game. Should we have gerrymandering? No, right? Like, it's bad. Yeah, obviously. The best thing to do would be to have every state not do this. But that's not the world we live in. That's not the situation. And calling for decency in the face of one party literally changing the game is how you lose. I'm not a Democrat, but I can't fault them for doing what they're doing right now. It's the right political move. All right, almost done with state stuff. Truly just an unbelievable amount of bullshit. And I skip stuff. Sock the Epstein files. We still don't have the full unredacted Epstein files, which is a thing that a lot of people in Trump's periphery were talking very loudly about delivering once they were in office. Of course, that tune changed. They were like, oh, there are no, there's no list. And stop asking. Most recently, there has been released audio of an interview with Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's girlfriend slash human trafficking associate, in which she said there is no black book. Like, there is no list of clients. She also said that she never saw Trump do anything inappropriate. Very trustworthy statement from a very trustworthy person. Now, we knew that there was not going to be an actual list. This is not a movie. There's not a little black book that says all of these people are child rapists. But we also know that it's not like nothing went down there. So it would be pretty fucking nice to not be completely lied to for just a second to see anyone ever face some kind of consequences for the molestation of children, for the enterprise of the molestation of children. But the Republican-controlled House Oversight Committee now has a small subset of pages from the Epstein files, like 3% of them, and they're going over them and will make a decision on what to release, if anything. I'm not holding my breath. Okay, I'm so thirsty. One sec. Okay, I'm gonna end this section by saying, I know things are bleak. I know things are rough right now. Trust me, I have to sift through this stuff, figure out what I can even include. I have to trace things as they're developing over time. I know that there's a lot going on right now. I know it feels like we are careening towards the end, but I want to say this. This will pass. That doesn't mean it's going to pass effortlessly. That doesn't mean that we're going to be completely fine on the other side of it. That doesn't even mean that we're all going to survive this. But this will pass. Trump is dying. Like, it doesn't take an expert. You can look at his face and see that he is dying. And whether it happens tomorrow, in a couple of weeks, or in a couple of years, the man's not long for this world. And while a lot of people rightfully say that Trump going away won't fix our problems, won't end all of this, I do want to note, do you really think J.D. Vance has what it takes to take over the MAGA throne? I see people online say that they would vote for him, but I also see people online say the dumbest imaginable shit every day. The fervor, the deification is all specifically Trump. And while, yeah, him getting out of office by way of leaving this mortal coil is not going to solve the fundamental problems of the United States of America, at least we won't have to deal with the fallout of him making an assumption about some dumb bullshit he doesn't understand and everyone in his periphery falling over themselves to make that happen. There's a lot of things that industry leaders are doing right now that they're trying to butter him up. They're trying to stay on his good side. There are things that he is doing that they are really not into. And they're just kind of biding their time until they can push back when he's gone, because they don't want to piss him off by contradicting him right now. Okay, let's take a breather, because I need a breather. Stretch, you know? Ugh. And hey, maybe a great way for you to relax would be to head to isupport.dev, where you can find links to my Patreon, my Ko-Fi, my YouTube memberships, and you can support me. Anyone supporting me across any of those platforms gets access to behind-the-scenes content, bonus content, and early access to playtests of the tabletop role-playing game that I've been designing called Proscenium. You can learn all about all of that at isupport.dev. Thank you. Elsewhere, over in the UK, they've been arresting people for t-shirts. Fashion police. Except it's not fashion police. It's, they don't want people expressing support for Palestine. Cops in the UK have been arresting people for wearing shirts that support Palestine Action, which is a group that has been deemed a terrorist organization by the UK. So wearing their shirt amounts to supporting a terrorist organization, apparently. Enough to just arrest people who are otherwise just sitting in protest. Like, quite literally, these protests are as peaceful as they get. People sitting silently on the ground, wearing a shirt and holding a sign, and they're being arrested. There's even footage of, like, an 80-year-old woman being arrested. Now, that's awful, and it's especially awful because right now, the famine is official in Gaza. International experts have now formally declared it a famine. Like, that's happening. And yet they're so focused on trying to arrest people for simply wearing a shirt in favor of freeing Palestine that they accidentally arrested a guy who was wearing a slightly different shirt. Miles Pickering, a visionary, designed a shirt that says Plasticine Action. The shirt is an anti-AI and animating shirt. Plasticine Action. But cops saw that and they were like, ah, and arrested him. And then a few minutes later, they were like, oh, it doesn't say Palestine Action. so we can't actually arrest you. Which begs the question, if all of these people who are currently arrested had like one letter different on their shirt, would they not have been? What are we even doing anymore? I'll tell you what we're doing. We are sailing the East Blue all the way to Indonesia. In Indonesia, there has been a protest that started with students and has just been growing and growing ever since. And it is represented by the flying of the Monkey D. Luffy Jolly Roger from One Piece. So the government of Indonesia is not super popular right now. And when they cut 25% of funding to higher education, students were like, what in the fuck? They formed a protest movement called Dark Indonesia, and they started to fly the Luffy flag. This picked up steam, and it has just kind of become a symbol for general resistance and a movement towards something new for Indonesia. The government of Indonesia made this specifically worse for themselves by saying that this flag was like a national security threat and implying that people were being paid to do this. Where have I heard that before? Anyway, that just made them fly the flag more. So well done, solidarity. I hope that you get a better life. I hope we do too. Yeehaw. I ate the yap yap fruit. It gave me the power to yap. Moving on. Technology. A little while back, I talked about an effort from the UK demanding Apple to essentially create a security backdoor for the UK government to access encrypted data. Apple is actually kind of pretty good at data privacy. Like, not perfect, far from it, but from the big carriers, they actually give you a lot of tools to do full end-to-end encryption. One of those tools is to fully end-to-end encrypt all of your files in iCloud, which makes it so that only you can access the files. Apple has data stored on their servers, but it's unintelligible gobbledygook. So even if a government came in and said, give us the files, Apple couldn't do anything. They're like, here's a bunch of garbage. The only way that garbage can be read is with the key that's in your computer. But the UK didn't want that. They didn't like that. Stop it, is what they said. And Apple said no. But recently they dropped that request and are no longer asking Apple to do that because Apple was like, no, we'll just pull out of your market. This is not the first time that a government has asked Apple to break their own security, and the US did this infamously. They once had the FBI harass Apple to open someone's iPhone. They had a suspect's iPhone and they were like, we can't open it, we can't unlock it. Apple, you need to make it so that we can unlock this so that we can get the evidence out of it. And Apple was like, no, like we're not gonna give you a backdoor into our devices. Governments have a weird relationship with encryption. They're always like, encryption is important and all these foreign nations that are impeding on their citizens' privacy are bad. Anyway, stop using encryption. Over in Mississippi, you are not able to access Blue Sky through their primary app. Mississippi is one of the several states that has recently passed an ID verification law for online access to content that could be potentially dangerous to minors. But the specifics of the Mississippi law make it so that Blue Sky doesn't even want to bother. Because Blue Sky can have porn on it, in theory, they would have to verify the identity of everyone using their platform, and they're not going to do that. It's expensive and dangerous, and it's being challenged in court, so it might not even be a thing that they have to do for a very long time anyway. In the meantime, they've just blocked access entirely for the state of Mississippi. I want to say, again, one more time, because apparently I'm not saying it loud enough, this is not the tech policy that we're asking for. Please, please stop. Please stop making me give you my ID to look at memes. Oh, also, Grok. A few weeks ago, I talked about how ChatGPT had a bunch of conversations leaked onto the internet, and now it's happening for Grok. Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI, has an option to share conversations. When you do that, it creates a link. Those links to those conversations were then indexed by Google. So you could literally search like Grok conversation and find private conversations that people made a link to share to one other person, unknowingly putting it on the public internet. So that's neat. You can just Google someone's private conversation with a chatbot. It's truly bizarre how frequently these apps are just being busted. Like, I've never heard of so many frequent instances of just like, oh yeah, user data is just out there, unsecured. It's almost like we're moving too fast and breaking too many things. Lightning round. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, ordered the removal of a rainbow crosswalk that was made in memoriam of the people who died at the Pulse nightclub shooting. This is done because of hate, and locals have already repainted the crosswalk. The Cambridge Dictionary has added words such as skibbity and delulu in the most recent edition. I want to be clear, that's fine. I don't care. That's fine with me. Words change. Words are made up. If you're pressed about that, you're delulu. James Dobson, a chief architect of the modern evangelical movement in the U.S., beefed it. He did. The CEO of Target has stepped down as Target is facing a bunch of financial issues because everyone's boycotting them. Everyone. And finally for today, archaeologists and skateboarders will be working together to excavate an old skate park in Scotland. To be clear, it's not like an ancient skate park. That would be so rad. Oh my God. Imagine you're like at a dig site and you take your little sweepy thingy and you start sweeping away and it's a fucking half pipe. Awesome. Rad. Cool. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a skate park from Scotland that I put there that's unexcavated. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.